All right, I see a couple more people coming in. Thanks for joining us today.
So we can go ahead and get started as people continue to come in. So thank you everyone for joining the second informational session for our CMIPB challenge. This meeting today will be recorded and posted on our Solution Center for those who are unable to attend. And on that note, you can also view our first informational session recording on the Solution Center as well if you were unable to make that one. And during that session, we went into a deeper dive in the background into the background of the challenge. Next slide, please. And here's just a brief overview of our prediction challenge timeline. So today we're at our second Zoom informational meeting. And then next week we will be hosting an open office hour session that we'll talk about a little more later in the session today. Next slide, please. Great, so here's our agenda for today's session. So we'll start off with a little announcement of our bonus task. We'll go through some other updates, and then Pramod will be showing a live demo of the submission process. Then we'll be going into a few reminders and then into our Q&A session. Next slide, please. Great, so we'll start off with our bonus task, and I will hand it over to Lisa.
Yes, hello everyone. Thank you for coming in. So we are excited to announce that we will have a bonus task, the CMIPB challenge, and this task is specifically designed for the T cell responses. So in the previous CMIPB challenges, we included the B cell response by adding data for the antibody measurements before and after booster vaccination. But we also know that the T cell response is super important in the protection against Bordetella pertussis infection and the immune response. So previous research has shown that this response is super important, but it also showed multiple times that there are differences in the T cell response when you compare AP versus WP primed individuals. So for instance, AP primed individuals, they have a more Th2 than Th1 polarized T cell response. And on the other hand, WP primed individuals have a more Th1 than Th2 primed T cell response. And this Th1 response is associated with better protection against infection and also a more durable response. While on the other hand, AP primed individuals does have a more Th2 polarized response, which protects less good against infection. And those people also does infect other people more easily. And this response is also less durable. So, and in this like sub-study, we were interested in the mechanism behind this phenomenon, and that's why we measured the Th1 and Th2 T cell response. So we did this by creating antigen-stimulated T cells, and we measured the Th1 response by counting the T cells that secreted interferon gamma. And then on the other hand, we did the same for the Th2 cells, where we counted the cells that secreted IL-5. Then we created a manuscript of our results, but basically the main finding is that when we do correlation analysis on this Th1 over Th2 polarized response, we see that people that have a more Th1 polarized response, we see that those people also have an early peak in their plasma of interferon gamma. And we also see that when we look at a transcriptome of the PBMCs, that those cells respond to interferon gamma by just not only having it in a plasma, but also responding with all different kind of interferon genes. So we believe that this memory Th1 response is maintained via this early interferon response. And if you're interested in this, you can already check out the results on bioRxiv. The manuscript is currently under revision, so it's not officially out yet. And yeah, I think Pramod will tell you more about the task itself and of course the prize.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, Lisa, for nicely discussing the background of the new task that which we are putting as a T cell response task. So this is the revised task list that we have. So we had three Task, three group of tasks previously, attribute level task, cell frequency task, and gene expression task. And if you go on website, you will find a fourth task, which is a T cell response task. Of, yeah, that is a bonus task where we ask, rank the individuals by predicted TH1, TH2, or interferon gamma, IL-5 polarization ratio prediction on day 30 post-vaccination. So this is the bonus task and independent of the main challenge. And this, the results or the submissions of this task will be evaluated independently. And the participation in the bonus task is optional. So if you believe you can submit all seven tasks, which is awesome. And also if you wanna just focus on the main challenge or just the bonus task, so that is also welcome. The deadline for the bonus task is very similar to the main challenge, which is November 22nd. And yeah, this is the task short synopsis. And the prize we will be awarding for just for the bonus task, which is the $500, which is a cash prize. And this cash prize is, as I said, completely different from the main challenge winner prizes. And yeah. And the submissions with significant correlation coefficients will earn the co-authorship in the resulting manuscript, which is again the very similar details that we have with the main challenge. And and inclusion of this bonus task had and like how do you submit the rank file? So for that purpose, we revise the submission file. Now I'll be briefly talking about like how the submission file looks like. So if you I'll be shortly going over the website and showing you that. Before that, you see we have six tasks, 1.1 until 3.2, and now we have added extra column, which is for the 4.1, so where you'll be inserting the rank orders or predicted ranks. I'll be talking about the submission process in a while. Yeah, so just to remind about this overall CMIPP data, we have training data, which comprises of 117 subjects and 54 subjects we have for the challenge. In total, we have 171 subject data, which is divided into training and challenge data. And we have all these assay information available for making prediction. And just to remind again, so all this data can be used for predict all this task, including the T cell response task. And there is no restrictions on like how you use this data. And again, just to remind, training data set comprises of three cohorts, 2020, 21, and 22. And to make this data consistent, yeah. There are additional things which you might need to do, which is data processing. And for this also, we have provided the data pre-processing and normalization pipeline using the various bioinformatics approaches, which are generally used in the field. And we also made available this pipeline using the RPub and GitHub. Yeah, and thanks for putting very nice inquiries on Solution Center about asking the details of the code and various aspects of the various aspect of like how we do data processing and harmonization, etc. So briefly, I'll just go over the GitHub pipeline just to remind one more time how the data processing is happening. So data processing is happening in two steps. The first step is data harmonization, where data files are which we provide through the CMIPB download side, which are downloaded from there and standardized in uniform fashion, so that you have nice computable matrix standardized across all the data sets with respect to the identical features, which we do using the feature mapping. And then after you have those giant matrices combined together with respect to the different cohorts, the next step we also did, which was the data normalization, imputation, and batch effect corrections, which we discuss in detail in the code files which are in here. Yeah, and we welcome or encourage to ask you like all the questions you have on the Solution Center if are there any. Yeah, and we saw there are a lot of questions on the solutions, which I'll go in a bit. And quickly, I want to remind one more thing. Since we have added the bonus task, we also provided the interferon gamma and alpha ratio pre-calculated, so that this information you can directly use while building the models. So this is the data download side for the third challenge, and as you can see, all the information about the raw data sets divided into training and challenge data set, which is present here. Also, we provided the harmonization process data using the TSV files and RDS file, which is also present here. And along that, we provided the bonus task data, which is basically TH1, TH2 polarization ratio. This file you can download. I'll show you how it looks like. It looks very quickly. So it includes a specimen ID, and these are the feature names we use in the T-cell polarization assay data, which we deposited in the raw and the processed data set. So we kept those, and we provided additional information, which is like P01579, which is basically UniProt ID for interferon gamma, and yeah, this is ID for IL-5. So we provided this ratio information, which basically you can use for building your model. And also, not necessarily you need to use this information only. You can use all the data we have for building your models for this task. And now I go back to the some of the posts that were posted on the Solution Center. So there are a lot of posts or queries asked about the data submission and the criteria of prizes, and for which we made a separate post clarifying all those doubts. Feel free to read this post, and also if you have any more confusions or queries, just write post below or query your questions in there. Briefly, I'll go to the CMIPD, and here we go for the Solution Center. And when I open third challenge, there are nice question. I'll just take few. The first question, I think it was asked by Iran yesterday, where it seems she was confused about the batch corrected data and how she can access that. So basically, I responded in here. So for individual assays, since there was only one readout for those assays, we perform normalization batch correction on just one data. But for the gene expression data set, we provided both the raw counts and TPM counts, and both raw counts we perform the batch effect correction, and also separately we perform the batch effect correction on the TPM data. So all those different matrices were provided under the gene expression data set, so which you can access. There are a lot of questions which we can discuss when during the Q&A. Next important thing is the submission process. We have seen some inquiries on the Solution Center, and also a few participants also submitted their initial submission files. So we wanted to discuss this in detail. So what is the best way to handle our submission process? So here is a quick demo. So this is the submission template which I've created. Now you see here I have manually inserted values. So this is the correct file. So in which you can see these are random numbers. So it starts with one, and we have the highest rank, which is 51. So we expect all the ranks should put into this minimum one and maximum 54 range. But also there can be possibilities where you might have like rank duplicates, and you can put it this way. There can be like the common rank for two subjects or multiple subjects. Accordingly, you can insert those details. But if you try to put values outside the outside this rank list, which will be handled by our submission portal. So for an example, if I put the rank 55 and try to submit this file, let's see what happens. So I download this file as a TSV. So yeah, now this file is here. Now, yeah, I'll go back to the CMIBB website, click on sign in, and then I click on the submit prediction. Now, this is the submission portal. So here, the brief steps about the submission file preparations are mentioned. The first step, which is to download the template. So where is the template? So you can click in here, and also you can go back and you can find that template in here itself. So after downloading that template, you basically, write the ranks using the code, which I'll be showing in a moment. Alternatively, you can directly do in the text editor like this. So I just downloaded that file, and I'll go ahead and try to submit that file, which is this one. Now, since there was a 55 rank which I tried to submit, so it shows me some validation error. But if my file is correct, there are different validations which we try to handle. But if the file is correct, like this, save it, and I download again using TSV. A new file is downloaded, which is in correct order. And when I, sorry. Put it. It passes the QC and it pops up the message saying that your submission is recorded. And when I go to my email, it should send me that file and the email message saying that, yes, your file is been recorded. And you also get the file as a recorded version for your own information. And now, if you want to access all your submissions, you can go back to the submit prediction page, and then if you see on the left, you have option to access all past submissions. You go there and all the files are listed there, which you can download and see what you submitted. Now, the next thing, like this is a trivial data entry manually. To make this more objective, we also have demonstration using the simple or the baseline prediction models. Basically, these models are the baseline models which we use for the past two challenges. And we expect like the actual submissions or actual models would be more complex, and those models should outperform these baseline models. The first model is the pre-vaccination levels of individual tasks. And for instance, for here, for simplicity, we took the antibody titer levels of IgG, PT, and we just ranked them and then created the ranking file. I'll be showing the code in a moment. The second model, which is the chronological age of the subject, we take the subjects and we simply rank them and submit it in here. So if I go to the RPub, here explain the process. So as I mentioned, the two models, the first one is the baseline IgG antibody titer against the PT. So I downloaded this data. Then the model construction was very simple. I took the baseline MFI normalized data, and then I rank them using the rank function in R. And after having this, I took those same ranks and passed it for the first two tasks, task 1.1 and 1.2. And now my submission file, now the data looks like this. Now, yeah, it looks like this. Now the final code is showing like I took that data and passed into the submission file format. Yeah. And similarly for age, I took the age as at boost, which was calculated using the year of birth and the date of boost. And the rank was calculated using rank function and which was passed to the all the task files. So this is the, how the age rank looks like and which is now filled for the all the tasks. And yeah, and these files were downloaded and provided as the submission examples, which you can see in here. The first file was the age, and second one was is the IgG. So I'll just first download the age model. You can see all the tasks were filled out using this same ranking calculated through age. And the second matrix, go back, which is the IgG. So this, using this model, I tried to fill out two columns, 1.0 and 1.2. And the all other columns, for instance, like was not intended for this model, and those were left blank. So you can either submit all the tasks or choose to submit few tasks as per your convenience. Now I'll just demonstrate. Like I'll go back to the submission prediction. I'll take one of this file. Take age model. Just upload it and try to submit it. So it says the same message. And when I go back to my email, it gives me the recording of that file. Okay, so this is how the submission process works. So feel free to use your own criteria and criteria to process and submit the files. And we also give you these two models, which you can, and then the code, which you can use for a reference. Yeah, with this, I'll pass it to Mari to discuss about reminders and queries.
Awesome. Thank you, Pramod. Next slide. Okay, cool. So as Shelby mentioned earlier, we do have our office hours coming up on October 8th. You can access the Zoom through our private port or the Solution Center, and I'll also be sending out an email to everyone. So you can hop in and ask us any questions that you have about your particular model or about the submission process, and we'll be happy to answer. Cool. Next slide. Okay, and with that, again, this is a quick reminder about everything that's on our CMIPB website. You can access everything through the prediction challenge section here on the left here. And what Pramod was showing just earlier was the section called examples of models. And to the right, we do have our Solution Center located on the right side at the bottom where Pramod is putting his cursor. And that's where, if you can ask any questions for us, we'll be happy to answer them as well. Next slide. Okay, cool. And as always, we just want to say thank you to all our labs and everyone who's worked with us throughout this project. Next slide. And these are just some of our current and past CMIPB members. So we just want to say thank you to everyone for working with us throughout this whole process. And with that, we would like to end it off with some questions. So if you can use the React button at the bottom of your screen and use the hand motion. I mean, and then if you could unmute yourself and ask your question, that'd be awesome. And I do want to clarify that you can ask questions about the submission process or about the data or the model. It doesn't have to be about something that we particularly presented about today. So. Awesome. Laying, if you can unmute yourself and ask your question.
So I have a quick question about accessory response data. I noticed that in the harmonized data, batch crack data, we only have the assay data. So is this true that we all needed to extract response data based on the task description from those assay data directly? And on the challenge data, I guess those columns corresponding to the response data will be gone. Is this correct?
You mean yeah, you're talking about the baseline, the longitudinal data for the
Right. So we have several prediction challenge tasks, right? So each of them has a response. But I noticed in the harmonized or batch crack data, we only have the assay, like assay file. So we don't have a separate file for response, right? We do not have a separate file recording all the responses of interest. So is this correct that we are going to extract the columns from the assay data itself?
So I think if I understand your question correctly, whether like the IgG PT at day zero, CCL3 at day zero, whether these recordings are present in the harmonized or the raw data set. So this information is present in all the files. It's just that if you need to create a separate mask matrix, you need to extract by yourself and create it.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. Got it. So we're going to, on the training data, we're going to extract the data and delete them from the training assays. And on the challenge data, those columns are already preliminary removed, right?
Thank you, Lane. Okay, next I have Raphael.
Hi, Pramod. So my question is about something you posted on the Solution Center some 10 days ago. You posted a clarification about the use of external data and predictors. So it says contestants may use external data set or predictors. If I'm not mistaken, the thing of using external data sets is a new rule because I was under the impression we couldn't in the past. I don't know if that's up. Well, my question is really about reusing existing models. Are there any rules for using models of past year contestants? Because in the last session, people asked about you reusing their models. What happens if I also reuse their models? And this is the second part. That's the two-part question. You also said we encourage innovation rather than exact replication. But does that mean something in practice? Are more points awarded to original code or something?
Okay, I think, Bjorn, you can go ahead and.
If I can answer this, I think that is more aspirational than quantitative. I mean, we are going to run the same models again that were done last time. So if you submit the exact same predictions also, you're pretty much guaranteed not to win, right? Because there's going to be the same predictions going to be there. But if you're using the models that were successful last time around and then add something innovative to them to make them better, that is very much encouraged. Like, there's nothing keeping you from doing that. Similarly, if you identify another data set that you think is going to make it your predictions better, that's awesome. Again, like, then the spirit should be so I'm not aware of what kind of data set that would be, but if it would be great to know more about that, and that would be a key finding to understand that. I mean, in our past data analysis so far, the transferability between different vaccine settings has not been very impressive for pertussis. So if somebody really identifies something that works better and can utilize external data set in an innovative way, or innovative or not, I think that would be innovative by definition. So very much. I mean, ultimately what counts is how your predictions rank.
Yeah. Raphael, did that answer your question?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you. Any other questions? Oh, and I also saw Mahita posted in the chat. I think this is the same question, but let us know if we didn't answer your particular question.
Yeah, that addresses the question.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, Mahita. And Nikki, I saw you have a question?
Hi, yeah, I do. Thank you. Thanks for all the information today, everyone. I had a question about the new task. So in the downloads page, there's a separate folder, right, called bonus task data, where you've provided, I guess, the ratio data for the aisle. Sorry, what is it? Aisle.
Interferon gamma.
The TH1, interferon gamma, IL-5. But is that data also included in the harmonizing process data, or would you have to add that?
Nice question. So if you see the RDS files or the TSV files, so when I try to harmonize and batch process, so I didn't identify any batch effects in T cell data. So I directly went back and used the raw data for the final data. So yeah, you can see those notes in there. That's why all the data for the T cell was the raw data which is the final data I use for the processing pipeline, and which was used for calculating those ratios.
Okay, so in the raw data, we should effectively have the IL-5 and the interferon gamma separately.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Thank you, Nikki. Anyone else have any questions?
Yeah, just to clarify, we calculate this ratio and made readily available so that there is less confusion about like how to calculate this ratio and how to use it for the making prediction. This is an additional thing, but all the data about the interferon gamma and the IL-5 is already present in the T cell polarization assay data.
Awesome, thank you. Okay, cool. If no one has any other questions, we'll end it there. Sorry.
Actually, maybe I have one last quick question.
Absolutely.
I remember this was raised last year as well, and I can't remember the answer, but I guess the ranking is from high to low, right?
Yeah, right. So if you have if you have predicted the highest value, so that subject should be ranked first or one, and the predicted value is lower, so that subject should be ranked with the highest number, 54.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
And also, just to add on that, we are calculating Spearman correlation coefficient. So even if you messed up with your ranking, like you send it in reverse order, that will be reflected in the Spearman correlation coefficient. And we are taking absolute values of correlation coefficient to make the winner of that task. So it doesn't affect, but it's,
all right, I don't see any other hands up, so we'll conclude there. Just before we end, just a quick reminder again, so our second office hours are on October 8th at 9 a.m. Pacific time, and we'll be sending out an email with the Zoom information as well. And as always, please post your questions on the Solution Center, and we'll get back to you on the website. So yeah, awesome. Thank you, everyone, and thank you all so much for joining us today. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.